What's up? This movie's on up. Discussion episode. Favorite vacation gone bad movies. Take the ride. I am Dave, joined by my lounging co-host, Ryan.
I am officially on vacation on this episode.
We are Movies on Up. Take the ride. That is our tagline contest. If you know what tagline that is from, hit us up on Twitter, at Movies on Up, Facebook.com/Movies on Up, MoviesOnUp.com, MoviesOnUp@gmail.com. Just let us know what movie that's from, and we will send you a lovely prize package. Shout out to everybody who's done that so far. I don't want to forget any names, so I won't go by name. We're also on Stitcher and iTunes if you want to. You can't really contact us that way, but we're
there.
You
can contact us by leaving us a review
please
on iTunes.
Yeah, you can leave an iTunes review. Yeah. Please don't just put the name of the movie and have that be your iTunes review.
You know what? If you do that, I don't even care if you're first. If you give us like a 5-star review and you do the tagline contest, yeah, you're getting a prize pack. I'll put my name on that.
Our discussion this week, favorite vacation gone bad movies. We did our summer preview last week, which you can check out. It's up at moviesonup.com. It would have been it'd be in the iTunes store too. I put up the calendar, and then Ryan went through and typed summaries of each movie, and he noticed a theme, and a lot of them are vacation gone bad movies. And other themes, he also put up a blog post. Check it up at moviesonup.com. So we decided to just do a vacations gone bad list, which was kind of a weird list to do.
If you really think about movies about people going on vacation, they kind of have to go bad. Because who would go see a movie about a nice, relaxing vacation that went awesome? Yeah. I guess I wouldn't. But it's just one of those things that, you know, while you're on summer, while you may be contemplating going on vacation, you see some of these movies or some of the ones that will be coming out this summer and you think, man, I'm not going on vacation. I'm going to end up in a body bag.
But then here's another thing is you think about vacation gone bad movies and really the first thing that comes to mind is horror movies.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of them. You could do 20 horror movies that are set up on that premise.
I have two.
I avoided them. I always like to go through at the beginning of our episodes and kind of give the thought process when we were doing the list. I didn't want to do any because there are so many and I think we've covered a lot of them.
Yeah.
But
there's one that we haven't covered that I thought, oh, this would be a good forum to talk about it. There's another one that we kind of have, but we didn't talk about it last week in a point where we should have.
And I'm not. That's why I like to go up, because me and Ryan always have different thought processes, and our lists are always going to come out way different. So
hopefully.
I avoided the horror movies, and my list is all no horrors. But before we get to that list, you know what time it is?
No, Dave, what time is it?
Biggity, 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 bonus list! Let me find it. This is
it's your top five movies with summer in the title.
Number 5, Summer of Sam. Number 4, Summer Rental.
Yeah.
Starring the Cusack. Oh, no, that's John Candy. Number 3, starring the Cusack. One Crazy Summer. Number 2, Summer School. Number 1, no surprise if you've ever heard me talk, Wet Hot American Summer.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm not at all surprised that that's your number 1. And I guess I should say our number 1.
Yeah.
It's a co-list, but you wrote it.
Yeah.
A lot of times I have objections. This time I really don't.
Yeah. So vacation gone wrong movies. Kick off our top 5. What's your number 5?
I will. This one's not a stretch. It's probably, when you think of vacations gone wrong, this is probably the first one that comes to your mind, whether you've seen it or not. And I think there's probably a lot less people out there that have actually seen this movie than you might think. It is from 1972, directed by John Boorman, starring the very suave Burt Reynolds, John Voight, and Ned Beatty, the granddaddy of all vacation gone wrong movies. It is Deliverance. It is the singular reason why I don't go canoeing or I don't go in the woods. And whether you've seen the movie or not, you know exactly when somebody says dueling banjos, you know what that means. And you
and
know,
squeal like a piggy.
Boy, you got a pretty mouth on you. Like all of that stuff. Like I think people know without having seen Deliverance that somebody takes it up the can. And that's probably about all they know about the movie, but that's just how iconic it is.
When it's really a good survival movie.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another, like, if we were to do survival movies, this would probably be on there, because in its essence, that's what it is.
Right. I mean, Burt Reynolds gets a compound fracture in his leg, like where? That kid from Louisville. Except instead of being on a basketball court, he's in the backwoods in Tennessee or something, and there's rednecks trying to kill them.
And this is one of those weird movies that everybody's familiar with.
Yes.
Everybody knows what Deliverance is.
Right.
People make Deliverance jokes. A lot of people haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you're dead on there. Like, I think I mean, especially our generation, I think everybody is familiar with Deliverance references and they understand what you're saying, but they haven't actually seen it. Which is kind of sad because there is more to it than just the squeal like a pig.
Yeah, that's one scene. But I mean, it is kind of the catalyst for everything that happens after that in the movie.
No,
that's...
and it's, I mean, it's a really good movie and it definitely did go wrong. Or yes. Right, depending what you're into.
No, I think it goes wrong yeah. for everyone. Nobody comes out of that a winner.
My number five, this is the point where I make Ryan mad. I have a tie.
Yep, that would do it.
Because I went back and I looked back and I thought, the 80s is very common for vacation gone wrong movies. And I have a tie because they're so similar. I didn't want to pick between the two. Gotcha, starring Anthony Michael Hall, the paintball movie in Russia. And If Looks Could Kill, starring Richard Grieco. They're both pretty much the same movie. They're just, they're a case of mistaken identity, spies involved, shooting people when they shouldn't be shooting people. Both fun, though.
Yeah, normally I would get mad at you, but the fact that you picked a paintball movie, like, that's tough. That's tough to get angry at, so.
I mean, Gotcha. Just the plots are so similar. Like, yeah. They really are. And they're both, I hate Richard Grieco, but If Looks Could Kill is just a stupid, fun movie. You get in that mindset of this is a dumb, I believe it was late 80s, it might have been early
90s. It's about what he's good for.
Yeah, it might have been early 90s, but it's just a dumb, fun, shut your brain off for a couple hours, and 91. And then Gotcha would have been about 86, I think.
Well, we'll stay with 1991, because that is where my number four comes in. I think this is kind of one of the more underrated of Bill Murray's performances, ruining Richard Dreyfuss's vacation in What About Bob? Richard Dreyfuss is a psychiatrist. He goes on vacation to get away from his work, and the client from hell shows up needing his help on vacation. It's about as off the rails as Bill Murray ever gets, but it's done really, really well. You know, a lesser actor would have made an absolute mess out of this movie, and Jim Carrey might have been a guy that would have done that, but I think Bill Murray did an excellent job, and I give a lot of credit to the director, Yoda, Frank Oz, for putting together a very, very funny comedy.
This is actually my number two, so I'll just bump everything up and I'll talk about it now, because This was one of the first ones that came to mind. It was actually the second one that came to mind, and it's funny to think of in this context, because really, only Richard Dreyfuss's vacation goes bad.
Right, his family has a great
for
time
Bill
with Bob.
Bill Murray, it's the best time of his life. This is the best he's ever been. His family loves him. Mm-hmm. And it does such an awesome job. Bill Murray and Frank Oz are at their best because you understand 100% why Richard Dreyfuss is so irritated. You understand why he hates him. But you also understand
why
100%
his family
why
loves
his
him.
Family loves him.
Right.
So there's that balance that they just nailed. And that's so hard to do. And you bring up, if Jim Carrey would have been in this role, it would have been so overdone. But Bill Murray just so kind of understated. But it is a role that you could see Jim Carrey or Will Ferrell playing, but doing more with it. Like, trying to
do too much
with it.
Right.
Where Bill Murray had just the right level because he does it the whole time. And it's just such a good movie. The laughs are legitimate. Like, even now, it's just a quality movie. Like, I love this movie. Like, yeah. I really do. It is Bill Murray at its finest. Like, I honestly think this is one of, if I'm getting somebody who's never heard of Bill Murray, this is going to be one of the first things I have them watch, because it does show how good he is.
I think a lot of times Murray is more, his humor is maybe a bit drier and it's, you know, more sarcasm, but this was very slapsticky.
He did it well.
It's a completely different style of comedy for him.
And that's, it wasn't the sarcastic, it wasn't Peter Venkman,
right.
It wasn't his character from Stripes, it wasn't any other character he's played before.
Not Groundhog Day, it's completely different.
And that's why, because you could picture Will Ferrell or Jim Carrey in this role, you really can't picture them in, like, any of the other roles we just mentioned, because that's Bill Murray. Bill Murray does that so well. This wasn't really Bill Murray, but he made it his own, and he nailed it.
I mean, I think this is closer, his role in this is closer to Carl Spackler from Caddyshack than it is, you know, anything else he had done. Those were both.
Which, that was a little overdone.
That was a little overdone, but it's still one of the most, that might be, I mean, for us, it's Ghostbusters, but I think if there's anybody maybe older than us, it's probably him from Caddyshack that most people would associate him with, but it just shows what kind of an incredible talent the guy is. You can go from Caddyshack to What About Bob, or, you know, you can do something so scaled back. Like, everybody points to Lost in Translation is one of his better performances, and it really was.
It's one of his better, like,
understated
acting performances. Yeah. I don't think it's one of his better Bill Murray performances, if that makes sense.
Kind of, but I mean, it's still, like, he still had moments in that where he was genuinely funny, but it was very dialed back. And, I mean, if you can be funny in a Sofia Coppola movie, you've got it all working.
If you could be interesting in a Sofia Coppola movie, you're doing well. I was going to go back to you for your number three, since that kind of piggybacked mine, but I'll go on to my number three because it's another one of those.
Or technically, this is your... No, okay, this would be
it's,
your...
It's my number three because I changed it. Sure. So it's in that same vein. It's the same kind of story from almost the same time period, just a couple years earlier. The Great Outdoors. John Candy at his peak. Dan Aykroyd at his peak. Ruining each other's vacation. And this is when John Candy was just in, like, iconic movie after iconic movie. Like, John Candy was just on top of it. And, again, this is kind of him at his best. Dan Aykroyd at his best. And I was never giant into Dan Aykroyd as a movie star. Like, I liked him in stuff, but yeah. I didn't like Dan Aykroyd as a rule. If he did well, I liked him, but I could give or take for the most part. He did really good in this.
This was a great choice. It kind of got left off my list, and I'm not really sure why or how. I think it was just because I wanted to take a little bit from column A, a little bit from column B. I don't have another comedy on my list, another straight comedy on my list. That would have been one that I definitely would have considered putting on, because it is... Those two guys, in the 80s, it seems like we got a lot of comedic pairings that were really, really even good, just, and a lot of them involved John Candy.
And like John Candy, Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Like, that's another iconic one. Like, I mean, he just had that tear where John Candy in the 80s, I think a lot of younger people don't understand what he was.
I think a lot, maybe they don't, but if you want to, imagine Chris Farley in the 90s, but with a longer run.
Yeah.
And being even more impactful than Chris Farley was, that was John Candy. Oh, God, he was so good.
Yeah, he was amazing. Absolutely amazing. And like I said, this is, go back to Bill Murray with What About Bob. If you want to get started on John Candy, this might be one of the ones I start you with. This, probably Planes.
I think I still got to start with Planes, Trains.
Planes, Trains, and Automobile probably takes the cake there, but I think this is right behind it.
That would be up there. I mean, Spaceballs has a special place in my heart, obviously. But you got to really work to find a bad John Candy movie.
Those three movies we just talked about, 1987, 1987, 1988.
Yeah.
So, like,
he was busy.
He owned the 80s. Like, he was so good. And, yeah, this was just... it's such a good movie. I haven't watched it in a long time, but... Mm-hmm. When it came in my mind, I just think back to the raccoons, to just, there's so many things that I remember from, I mean, this is a movie I saw in the theaters.
Yeah.
What About Bob? I saw in the theaters. Like this, I don't know if I've watched since I saw it in the theaters, but I still have good memories of it. And it's just such a good movie. Like I said, it's two of the biggest comedic actors of the 80s at their best, just playing off of each other.
I've seen What About Bob recently, and I'm going to go on a limb.
I've watched that a lot.
Yeah. I'm going to go on a limb and say that these hold up. It's maybe not necessarily your style of humor now as it was, you know, when you were younger, but I think the jokes and the performances, because these guys truly are funny dudes. They're comedians. They are all comedic actors, and
I think they're comedic performers is a better way to say
it. Yeah, probably.
They can do funny, but they can also act enough to make it right. Like
believable.
Yeah, sure. Like John Candy in Great Outdoors. Yeah, it's similar to Uncle Buck. It's similar to Who's Harry Crumb, but there's enough there that he has enough range to where it's not just watching Who's Harry Crumb in the woods.
Right.
So
my number three?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like we got to make a pretty big break because this movie, not funny at all. It is back to kind of the dictionary definition of a bad vacation. It's from 1999, directed by Jonathan Kaplan, starring Claire Danes, Kate Beckinsale, and Bill Pullman. It's Broke Down Palace. The scary thing about this movie is that stuff like this actually happens. Essentially, it's why you should never leave America. Because anytime you go to a foreign country, you're really... kind of taking a chance. And these girls take a big chance. They graduated from high school. They wanted to go on this big vacation. They've been friends forever. They're thinking about Hawaii. Now, that's what they should have done. Just go to Hawaii. It's still America. You'll be fine. Instead, they decide to go to Thailand. They meet up with Bill Pullman, who's an Australian, convinces him to go to Hong Kong. Next thing you know, they're in jail for, they found, I think it was heroin in one of their backpacks, which got planted there. And then they end up in a Thai jail for a long time, and that's no fun.
This one I toyed with, but it's not on my list because to tease, my number one is a lot. It's the same subject matter, but it's done way, 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 way better, and it came a year earlier. So it's, you know, it was because this had the Claire Danes and the Kate Beckinsale. I mean, it had that, and Bill Pullman was huge at the time. Like, he was on a string of doing.
This one, it was post-Independence Day.
Yeah, 98. It came at a time when none of the people in it were really big stars, and it was just executed flawlessly. It's one of, to me, the most underrated movies ever, so we'll get to that one. But Broke Down Palace is good. It's good. And if you've seen Broke Down Palace and you like it, watch my number one when we get to it, because it's the same idea, just executed so much better.
If you like 42, you'll love Home Run.
Not really.
So now you're number two now? Is that what we're
at? My number two jumped up from number four because I wanted What About Bob and Great Outdoors to go together. This one I think everybody's seen, and I think everybody that's seen it loves it, but when people are asked some of their favorite like comedies or even road trip comedies, I don't think it comes to the front of their mind. I think it's kind of underrated in that way. Euro Trip. I think it's a very quality, well-done comedy. I think there's so many good jokes in it. They mention the Eastwood Mall. They're from this area. Matt Damon's cameo is iconic. I mean, it's people know the song Matt Damon sings, and a lot of people that know that song might not even remember that it's from this movie. Like, it's one of those. And I just think it's a really, really good movie. It's just so much fun. It's what it's kind of a throwback to, like I said, a lot of the ones that I came up with were 80s. This kind of a throwback to that feel of a movie where you're just four kids, happened to be a brother and sister twin, just going on a trip across Europe, and a lot of stuff goes wrong, but it's really good. It's well acted. It's funny. The jokes are good. It reminds me a lot of Sex Drive, which I talk highly of all the time. Just a well-done comedy. Comedies like this get kind of a bad rap because on the surface they look terrible, but when they're done well, they could be done really, really well, and I think Euro Trip is one of them.
Yeah, that's one of those ones that I think came along at a time where I was just getting out of high school, I think, and there were a lot of... I think that's when we maybe first started to get kind of the raunchier comedies, I guess. I mean, I would say maybe that and American Pie are kind of the two that stick out to me as what really started that.
And Road Trip in between them.
Yeah.
Like, this movie doesn't happen without Road Trip, but this is way better than Road Trip.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's a really good, pull. It's not one that came to my mind as necessarily a vacation that went terrible.
I think for most people, any situation where you end up making out with your sister is probably going to be considered terrible.
That would ruin your day. I'll agree with you there. Yeah. So where are we at?
I have no idea.
Okay, fair enough.
That was my number two.
Okay, I still have a number two to go. And this is the one that I had kind of wanted to talk about before. Vacation Gone Wrong movies, if you're thinking of horror movies, especially recently, there's one that comes to mind, I think... It came up, you had asked Aaron a couple weeks ago. I don't know what list we were doing at the time.
I think my road trip movies, I think.
Maybe, yeah.
Summer camp movies, my road trip ones.
Yeah, she mentioned The Descent, and that's one that gets talked about a lot, and rightfully so, it was a good movie. But I kind of thought The Descent might make your list, so I didn't want to do it. So I picked a movie that was very akin to The Descent. It is The Ruins. Essentially, a group of folks go to Mexico. And now, don't go to Mexico. If there's anything I've ever learned from watching Dateline, it's if you go to Mexico for a vacation, you're going to end up dead. You're either going to get kidnapped by drug lords and killed, or in this case, Mayan plants are going to eat you on top of a ziggurat, because that's, spoiler alert, pretty much what happens to most of the folks, Sean Ashmore and Jenna Malone in the ruins. I think one of the things that really kind of stuck out for me about this movie was the special effects. I thought they were pretty good. And I feel like a lot of them were done practically from what I remember. And they did seem like they were very, very cringeworthy. It was not quite torture porn, because it didn't seem like torture as the only means of entertainment in the movie, but it was just, oh man, it was really creepy the way these plants would get in you. And, ugh.
This one kind of disappointed me, because going on memory, I believe the trailer was actually really well done, and I believe the trailer had my hopes up, and the fact that the guy who wrote the novel was adapting it himself, which should lead to pretty good. And then I saw it and just didn't like it. I think my expectations were too high. And this might be one that I maybe should revisit, because I don't think I gave it a fair chance back when I did see it. But yeah, I mean, in research for this, it showed up on a lot of lists, so I can't really argue it. I think I need another viewing of it without the expectations that I had going into it.
I didn't have very high expectations of it, really. It was just, I thought I'd take a flyer on it one night. And I think that's, I do well when I really lower my expectations across the board for a lot of things. I end up being pleasantly surprised. And yeah, I mean, this movie wasn't particularly well acted. Just for me, I guess the effects were enough to kind of carry what was kind of a weak plot, I guess. The performances were fine. The kids did really seem scared and in pain, and I guess I'm into that, whatever.
All right, my number one, if we were to do most underrated movies with a great cast that really nobody talks about, this would probably be very, very high, because I feel like it kind of went under the radar back in 1998. Talked about Broke Down Palace, which is two girls on vacation get caught smuggling heroin because they're tricked into it. 1998, Return to Paradise, starring Vince Vaughn, Anne Hesh, Joaquin Phoenix, Jada Pinkett. Same kind of idea where Vince Vaughn, Joaquin Phoenix, and their third friend go on vacation in Malaysia. And then they buy a bunch of hash. And then Vince Vaughn and the other friend leave. Joaquin Phoenix stays behind. And then gets caught with all that hash. So he's in jail. And most of it doesn't take place on vacation. The vacation part is such a small part at the beginning, but it's the catalyst for the entire story, because it's just Anne Hesh, you know, with the amount of hash he had, he's set to death.
That's a tough hash and hash.
Yeah.
Hash's hash.
With the amount of hash that he was caught with, that's dealer, that's the death sentence. So Anne Hesh comes back to the States to try to convince Vince Vaughn and the other guy to go back and take credit for part of it. Because if they split it into threes, it's just a 2-year sentence. Plus, they're Americans. They can probably get it cut. So it's a lot of that back and forth where you see cuts of Joaquin Phoenix and how he's treated in Malaysian prison. And then you have Anne Hesh trying so hard to convince Vince Vaughn, who he does have responsibility for it, but is he man enough to take responsibility for it? And it's so good and it's so well acted. And this is when Vince Vaughn was...
Was this during your Vince Vaughn phase?
Yes, this was right in the prime of my Vince Vaughn phase. This is when Vince Vaughn was showing he could act and not just being Vince Vaughn. Like, this Vince Vaughn just... It's a drama. Like, Vince Vaughn's not funny in this movie.
This was when they thought, hey, let's cast Vince Vaughn as Norman Bates because he doesn't have to be
this
funny.
This is the same year, because I believe that was 98. And it's so good. Joaquin Phoenix, for what he does, is like, gives you chills for how good he does. He doesn't do much in the movie, but every scene he's in is just like chill inducing. And he's so good. Anne Hesh is good. Jada Pinkett, you want to run over with a truck, but that's the purpose of her character and her role in it, which it's such a good movie. And as far as I throw out sometimes that a movie's near perfect, this is one of them. The way it's acted, it's shot, the pacing, the story, there's parts where it could drag, but you're so invested that it doesn't. And you don't know it's one of those you don't know how it's going to go because, okay, you watch a rom-com, they're gonna get together at the end. You watch an action movie, they're going to save the day. This one, you don't know if he's going to take responsibility for it. And you're left guessing the whole way through, and it doesn't stop. And it's just such a good movie. And it is one of the better movies I've ever seen, like as far as how it's made, and it's such a good all-around movie.
Good pick. My number one, it's a movie that I think probably could be on a couple different top fives, could maybe be on your top five horror movies, and maybe it was. I mentioned Deliverance is the singular reason why I won't go canoeing. This movie is a singular reason why I will not go backpacking across Europe. It was from 1981, directed by John Landis, starring David Naughton, Griffin Dunn, and Jenny Ogeter. We'll hear a little bit from her later, sort of. And it is American Werewolf in London. We talked a bit about horror comedies last week and how some of them end up being the best horror movies. I think what a lot of people forget, maybe it's not forget, but don't give Landis credit for, is his ability to make a horror comedy. I mean, there are legitimate laughs in American Werewolf, and a lot of them are from Griffin Dunn's character. And I think, really, when you think about it, absolutely, it's a great horror movie, but it all is also a pretty terrible vacation. Again, the vacation doesn't last very long because nothing will cut your vacation shorter than getting turned into a werewolf, except maybe getting torn to shreds by one and becoming some sort of undead bound zombie spirit. But I think it's a really good movie from a really, really good horror director. And again, the special effects in that are pretty good. For 1981, the transformation scenes, when I was a kid, that scared the hell out of me.
It's a classic. It really is. It was updated in the late 90s.
Yeah.
To American Werewolf in London, starring the lovely Paris. Julie Delpy. Was it Paris? That's right,
yes,
Paris.
Because she's French.
Lovely Julie Delpy, but even she couldn't save it.
No.
It's just a classic. Like, it really is. Landis, his name is still relevant 30 years later because of, and why that is on display here.
Due in large part to this movie.
Yeah, so I mean, he's just, you see how much talent he has, the cast delivered. It's just a fun movie, and it's scary when it needs to be.
Mm-hmm. You have any also-rans that you want to mention, Dave?
Yeah, I had Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, that was one that I kind of thought too.
That was almost, but mine was 80s comedy heavy.
Yeah.
So I kind of left it off. That was really it, because I tried to get out of, once I decided I was going to go no horror, I was focused. Like, I would have a lot if I were to do. The Descent would have been there.
Yeah.
Fur there. I mean, Cabin Fever probably. Like, a lot of horrors would have made it. But Weekend at Bernie's is really my only other also-ran.
There was one that it was in a horror movie. I left it off because I didn't want to have, you know, really more than one. And it probably, the reason that it didn't make my list is because it wouldn't have been number one. It's not a better movie than American Werewolf. But it is a very good movie, and I like it quite a bit. From Dusk Till Dawn, it is.
For Harvey Keitel.
That's it. It ruined their vacation.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not early
it's
on.
It's not a vacation movie, but
no,
yeah.
They were on vacation.
No,
and
that's
then they
dead.
Got,
that's dead on.
They got co-opted.
Cape Fear. Were they on vacation or did they live there?
I want to say they lived.
Yeah, I'm thinking they did
there.
Just off the top of my head, but yeah, no. That From Dusk Till Dawn. That's one. That's why I like these lists, because there's always going to be something that you don't think about. And like, I never would have thought about that, because that is thinking outside the box, and it's accurate. Like, it's good.
Yeah, it's just
guy on vacation with his two kids. I'd say it went bad.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't go well for really any of them. But that's what's so hard about some of these lists. It's, you know, if we say like your favorite horror movies, that's a genre you can go look. When we do something like this, then, you know, you really have to kind of think back to the plot of movies. And I have a tendency to really forget quite a bit. So I have to think, man, okay, was somebody on vacation? And it makes the list really hard to do. So I know that there's some that we probably have left off. And if you've been screaming at us for the last 20 minutes about why don't you have this on there, you don't need to scream. You can put it in an email, send it to us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can tweet us some that we forgot at moviesonup, or put them on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup.
I mean, as soon as we decided, Return to Paradise popped into my head right away. And again, that was one of those that the vacation part is so small. It's the first 5-10 minutes, but then everything else is a result of that vacation. And really, it only went wrong for one of them.
Yeah.
But
went really right for the other ones.
It went so wrong for him that it's affecting the other ones. So, but that was the first one. Euro Trip came to mind right away. What About Bob kind of came to mind, and then that kind of led to Great Outdoors, and then it kind of snowballed. So I do like doing these lists because it's fun where the thinking comes from, but you're always going to miss one.
Oh yeah, at least.
Like you didn't mention a movie that I don't like. I mean, except The Ruins, which I'm willing to give another try, but. So it's just like, yeah, I didn't think of most of those.
Yeah.
But they could easily be on my list.
Exactly.
Not just that they work, but I like them. So they could easily be on my list. So that's this week's discussion episode. We have a bonus watch this. This week, bonus watch this movie. A movie starring one of the Rusties. Speaking of vacation movies. Either Ethan Embry, Johnny Galecki, Jason Lively, or Anthony Michael Hall. Ryan, what do you got?
No, you go first.
I took Night of the Creeps.
You did.
Because it's like Jason Lively's only other movie, I think.
Yeah, he's not got a lot going for him.
Yeah, I don't know that he's... and I wanted to think outside the box and take one of your favorite movies.
And you did. That's why I'm angry. Angry at this. Because that obviously would have been a layup for me. I've screamed it from any time I get a chance, whether it's 80s horror, whether... zombie movies. This has been on several of my lists because I genuinely love this movie. Fred Dekker, great. Night of the Creeps. And I will admit, when I saw that on the outline, I think my body temperature went up a degree or two.
I did it on purpose. I was going to do Suicide Kings, the Christopher Walken movie.
Yeah.
But I think I've done that before.
Jay Moore movie.
Huh?
Jay Moore's in that too.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people are in it. Henry Thomas, Johnny Galecki.
Sure.
Powder.
That guy.
It's a really good. It's I love that movie. So that's my bonus.
Yeah. So thanks.
That'd be funny if that was the one you wrote down.
Suicide Kings? Well, I was just looking at the rest of them and I'm thinking, well, I could go Suicide Kings, but I'm not going to. I kind of tipped it earlier when I was talking about Jenny Agutter. One of the movies that she was in that I absolutely love, it may be, it's probably not in my top 10. It may be in my top 20 of all time, is Logan's Run. And I'm on the record as saying how much I like that. And I will see movies that I feel are kindred spirits of Logan's Run. And as long as they're not completely awful, I'll walk away pretty happy. Kind of like I said with Oblivion in my review of that earlier. I like sci-fi. If it's a well-done sci-fi movie, then I'll like it. And I think that a movie that was akin to Logan's Run and done relatively well, although maybe I'm in the minority on this, is In Time, which is not starring Johnny Galecki, but he's certainly in it. I think that Timberlake does pretty well as being a legitimate action hero. I like the fact that, you know, time becomes a currency. I think that's kind of where sci-fi movies can really, really shine, is that they don't necessarily, they're not as grounded maybe in reality, but you could see where your time is. It is absolutely the most valuable thing that you have at the end of the day. And yeah, I think that it was a pretty rad movie.
I don't dislike In Time because of Timberlake. I thought he did good. I dislike In Time because I thought it was terrible. The cast was great.
Yeah.
Everybody did well. Seyfried, Timberlake, the guy from White Collar, Matt. Oh, did you say his name already?
No, I said Cillian Murphy.
Yeah, the guy from White Collar. His
Johnny
name's escaping me.
Olivia Wilde.
No, the rich guy at the beginning. It's well done from the beginning. It's just I thought it was executed poorly. I thought the acting was fine, but I didn't think they had much of a script to work with.
Matt Bomer.
That's it.
That's him.
That's the dude.
Yeah.
I didn't think they had a very good script to work with. I liked the idea. I didn't like the execution, but I liked the acting.
I mean, maybe the script wasn't solid there, but I guess the idea was cool enough that I'm able to overlook things like script.
So that's our discussion episode for this week. If you don't listen to Movies on Up or you're new to us, we do a news episode early in the week. This week would have been episode
50.
50. Episode 50 is up. That's the news from this week. We talk news, trailers, box office. Next week, we have our box office bash draft and our listener submissions. So if you want to play, go to moviesonup.com. There will be a blog post there with rules for box office bash. All you have to do is pick 5 movies releasing this summer. You get points for how much money they make. It's that simple. Just email them to us. The week after that, that's going to be a fun week. That's our 52nd week. That marks a year. So it's going to be a fun time. We have something cool planned for that that we'll announce next week. But until then, hit us up, moviesonup.com, twitter.com, @moviesonup, facebook.com/moviesonup. Email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. Find us on iTunes, on Stitcher. We're there. Leave us a review.
While you're checking out Dave's blog post on the rules, feel free to peruse the one I wrote earlier this week with some other themes. I mean, Bad Vacations is one of our summer vacation themes. There's 3 more that I put. And if, you know, for whatever reason you didn't listen to our summer preview, it does an okay job of giving you a little bit about what
thorough.
Some of those movies are going to be about plot-wise. So it's kind of like a mini summer preview.
Yeah, so the summer preview, that's from last week. Check it out if you haven't. If you want more me, @DaveBasella on Twitter. I have another show, Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave. EricandDave.com. That's Eric with a K. And I created a Juggalo sitcom a couple years ago that I haven't plugged in a long time. So if you want to kill about 40-some minutes in front of your computer, watch Juggalohio. JuggleOhio.com, Facebook.com/JuggleOhio, or YouTube.com/WatchJuggleOhio. Until next time,
watch Juggle Ohio and keep it up.